Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM, CITR. So welcome to the show. So while the rest of Vancouver's out enjoying the fireworks outside, we're going to chat about having fireworks inside and out. And yes, I do mean the sexy kind, not the fiery, flaming ones, unless you're into having makeup sex, which can be really fun too. But no, we're thinking a little bit more healthy, as in tonight's show is all about how to seduce your lover. So before we chat about how to seduce your lover, you really need to find one. And summer's a sensational time to meet people. There's lots of naked bodies, or practically naked bodies anyway, strutting down the street. Somehow people are just kind of sort of easier to meet. A little eye contact and a smile seems to set the stage for you to kind of gauge just how fast and how quickly passion becomes your fave form of fashion. So, whether you're spicing things up with a current lover of 20 plus years standing, or starting your own summer fling, communication is still key. It's the key to friendship, love, and passion. About a year and a half ago, Tanya Diamond, the Tantra teacher, had about 10 couples sitting in a circle. They were there for her Valentine's Day couple workshop. When she asked each person why they were taking her workshop, many of the participants said it was because they lacked intimacy. Intimacy. What I found interesting is how one person's definition of intimacy differed for another. One man said he wanted more sex. One woman just wanted to be hugged. One said she wanted her guy to take the garbage out. Another felt guilty because she didn't feel any desire towards her partner. But interestingly, with all of this, not one of them had the same thing, which I thought was sad and really, really interesting. And again, it comes right back to communication, how communication is key. And the easiest way, which you might be asking right now, how do I start? Like if you've been with somebody for 20 plus years, for example, you've kind of got your own stream of how you communicate. Some of it good, some of it bad. If you're just starting a relationship, you might want to figure out what those steps are right from the beginning, so there's less chance of making more errors. So with that, communication. Sometimes it starts with taking a nice, deep breath. So do that with me right now. Take a nice deep inhale. And exhale, just letting go of any stress or any tension. And somehow that just kind of gets you right back in your body again. Nice deep inhale through the nose, which activates the front lobe of your brain. Exhaling through the mouth. Really, really, really focusing. Actually, Dr. Ian Kerner, who's the author of She Comes First and The Sex Detox, actually recommends adopting a breath practice. So for all my guy friends who are listening tonight who have wanted to go to yoga with me, just so you can check out all those hot life bodies during a Bikram's class, you're on the right path. Although you might be going there just because I, who happens to be the best wing girl in the entire world, can introduce you to a girl or two, can really encourage you to develop a breath practice, because that is so important. Because when we breathe, obviously we stay present in our bodies, but as well as that, it can be really, really, really beneficial. It reduces stress and anxiety as well. It also strengthens your well-being, and it can also teach you how to be present, as I've mentioned several times. And eventually for men, this practice, when combined with the partner, can lead to male multiple orgasms, which can be really, really, really hot. And sometimes they can orgasm without ejaculation, which can be really hot and not so messy. So if you're in a relationship, or even if you're just at the fledgling stages, gosh, sometimes I just can't speak. Light a candle one evening and just sit cross-legged from your partner. Have one person lead. So basically, just get them to start breathing first. Get them to take a nice deep inhale like we just did. And exhale. And just get them to breathe. So inhaling through the nose. Exhaling through the mouth. Gently focusing, eye gazing. Just looking at each other. Sitting cross-legged. Very, very gently. And whoever that person who's leading, the second person should be matching the breath patterns. Holding that eye contact. And just whenever they feel comfortable, just gently turn your arm over, very gently, so your palm is facing upwards. And it's up to them, the person who's leading the breath work, to gently stroke you along your forearm, however they like to be touched. So whether it be gently or roughly, however they want. So very, very, very gently, still focusing on the breath, still focusing on the eye gazing. Nice, sweet, slow circles, or long, strong strokes, or really quick, fast, and rough. However you like it, it's good. At some point, you might want to switch, or you can leave that as a way of where you have his and her nights, or her and her, his and his, depending on what the relationship is, but basically where one person gets to be spoiled that night. And it is a very, very good way to build up anticipation and really get to know someone in an incredibly intimate level. So that's what to start with. That is your homework, boys and girls out there. Once you've done that, I want you to write in and tell me what you think and if you found any success with that and if that's helped a little bit in terms of having sex with someone, just feeling more connected, all of those things. And it doesn't even have to be if you're sitting here listening going, gosh, Caroline, I don't have time to, you know, sit down cross-legged with someone. I barely have time to, you know, go to the bathroom, which some of my friends, I know your listeners, you're out there feeling that way. Those of you who've just had children or you've got several kids or just have really extensive, crazy, busy careers, sometimes it's not as possible as we'd like to sit down and spend that time with somebody. Even though I am going to say right now, I think it's really important and it's a good investment of your time because all of us have the same amount of hours in the day to actually take that time to get to know somebody really, really well. And in doing so, you're also getting to know yourself. So it's really, really, really key. So making sure you have that time. But it could be as simple as just when that person comes home at the end of the day, whoever comes in, just taking a moment when you open the door and actually whoever's home coming to the door and greeting them, not just sitting there, you know, in the kitchen or watching television, but actually taking that person's hands and actually really acknowledging who that person is, taking a nice deep inhalation and exhaling. And just making eye contact and really just seeing them. And it's like, hey, before there's any words, sometimes you don't even have to say words. And just wrap your arms around them. Place your hands on their heart chakra, directly on their back. And nice deep inhale on the exhale. Gently press and press them into you. And just gently hold them for a few seconds. That's all you need to do. And sometimes that can make such a huge impact for someone. Other wonderful tips are when you're going to sleep at night. Sometimes I have couples that tell me they don't have time to have sex. And one of the ways to spice it up again is just being intimate with somebody, taking about 5 minutes each night to spoon. There's something really sacred about spooning. And have whoever is feeling most neediest that day. And guys, it's important, regardless, you know, to feel acknowledged that sometimes you need to feel needed. And just take turns. So 5 minutes for each person. So not always the smallest person being in the front. And basically the person who is doing the spooning, placing their outside arm on the front, on the heart chakra, directly in the front, and gently pressing their body in at the back. So nice deep inhale and exhale. Gently matching the breath patterns again. Really focusing. And sometimes that just makes someone feel really, really cared for, which is great. And then turning around and making sure both parties get it, because I think it's really important to balance it. So, if you managed to succeed this far, I think I'm going to take a little short break, and then we'll get to the kissing stage. And I know I'm going really, really slow, and hopefully I'm not putting you to sleep with all this breath work. Hopefully I'm building anticipation, which could be really hot. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM CITR, and we will be right back. I know a place to go.
Sunday, August 2nd at noon, the Vancouver Pride Parade starts downtown at Robson and Thurlow. Showcasing Canada's proud diversity, Vancouver's Pride Parade ran 500,000 strong last year. Join the celebration as we support the LGBT community worldwide. Parade entries are full, but find your spot to watch at vancouverpride.ca. Festival events run all week. I know a place to go when things are getting low.
And we are back. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM CITR. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about how to seduce your lover. And you'll notice I'm going slowly, just like a burlesque dancer would, just bit by bit. Because, of course, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the tease, which is very, very important. So say please. And I might have to make you beg, but you'll have to call in for that, which is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR if you want to call in and beg and tell me that you really want me to tell you all the secrets all at once, which I don't think I should do. I think I should take it nice and sweetly slow, one step at a time. So we started about chatting about intimacy, just focusing on being in your body, which helps lead for tantric sex later on, which can be very sacred, very, very, very wonderful, and actually quite mind-blowing as well. The way I've heard tantric sex being described by someone I know quite well, she said to me it was very similar to having a steak as opposed to McDonald's, where McDonald's satisfies the hunger really quickly, but a steak makes you feel really good, so you don't need to eat again until morning. Which I kind of like that concept of just not having to eat all the time. Even those sweet, quick, fast junk food meals can be really fun too, and very pleasurable. It's not something you want to do every day. It's very, very fun and very pleasurable. So, I'm going to ask everyone, do you think that sometimes there's a little bit of truth in romantic comedy movies? I think there is. Have you seen the movie Hitch? If you haven't, it's about, it's where Will Smith plays a young man who is a matchmaker, and he teaches guys how to pick up girls, but he tries to do it with a sense of authenticity. And there's a very funny scene in there where Will Smith teaches one of the guys how to kiss a woman. And what he encourages is he tells the guy basically to go in 90%, then stop. And then let the woman actually take it, so then that way she gets to control the kiss. That can be pretty hot, but ladies, there's no reason why we can't do that for the guys as well. But for those couples who've been there for a while, where sometimes you just roll into bed, you pull down your pants, and you just slide it in, and you just go at it, where it's good, it's comfortable, and it's something that you know, and it feels really good, and you want something a little different, and you want to build the anticipation. Or maybe you don't kiss as long as you used to when you first started dating, just those soul kissing, that wonderful, wonderful sensation. Well, sometimes what you should do is just go in for that 90%, just like Will Smith said, and stop, and eye gaze for a moment. Try and match your breath pattern, which, of course, if you're practicing, as I told you, doing your homework with your breathing, and then very gently going in for that kiss. There's just something really sacred about it, which just is a little bit more satisfying, body, mind, and spirit, which can be really, really, really hot. Sometimes I hear from my listeners when they want to feel sexy. Some of the guys tell me that their girls never want to have sex, and the girls just say that he's just not into anything other than sex. Well, I think sometimes there's a little bit of miscommunication going on, and it's really important, listeners, to figure out how to listen to your partner. Harville Hendrix has a great book. He's got several wonderful books. But in How to Get the Love You Need, he's got this fantastic exercise called the listening exercise, where it's really good. Where, say somebody tells me, "Caroline, I hate when you smoke," which I don't smoke, but just say, hypothetically, somebody did. I would respond back, "You hate it when you smoke. You hate it when I smoke." So in other words, I take what they said and actually take ownership. So I'm using their words. And then from there, I'd say, "Why do you hate it when I smoke?" And then have them respond afterwards, however they may. But it makes the listener feel that they're really being heard, to not just listen to. And that's really, really key. There's several exercises in Harville's work that really leads through that that process. And if you have been in a relationship for 20 plus years, or even at the 7-year itch phase, you might want to take have some time, see a racial relationship counselor, coach, or a religious leader, depending on if somebody that can counsel you, who's not going to take sides, who can help you guide through the process. Other things I hear sometimes is that people feel they're taken for granted, and that can happen at any phase of the relationship. And is it any wonder when you try and seduce somebody sometimes that it just doesn't work. And part of that is because of the fact they don't feel that they're being listened to. They don't feel that they're being respected. They feel like they've been taken for granted. So for one person, perhaps flowers just don't do it for them when you come home with flowers. And I've had that happen before where I've given somebody flowers and they were just like, oh, thanks, Caroline. That's great. And I took it really personal. But when I had to think about it, I had to think, how do I like being served? Which for me, I do like gifts because that was one of the ways I was raised. My mother used to go out of her way where she'd just pick up things sometimes, where she'd just say, I just picked it up because I looked at it and I thought of you. And there's a lot of me in that. So sometimes if I do that for someone, they don't always appreciate it the same way that I do because I was raised a certain way. Other women, it might be if the guy takes out the garbage or washes the toilet, that could be a huge act of love and a huge declaration, which gets them really horny because they feel like they've been loved. So one of the things that you might have heard me talk about, listeners, before, I've chatted a lot about Dr. Gary Chapman's Five Languages of Love so many, many, many times. And I really believe it's important to know how you need to be loved and how your partner needs to be loved. And because many times couples don't talk about what their definition of love is, there's a lot of confusion. So with Five Languages of Love, I'm just going to read this directly because I think it's really important. Words of affirmation. Mark Twain once said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. Verbal appreciation speaks powerfully to people whose primary love language is words of affirmation. Simple statements such as, you look great in that suit. You must be the best baker in the world. I love your oatmeal cookies are sometimes all a person needs to hear just to feel loved. And aside from verbal compliments, there's other ways to compliment through words of affirmation is to encourage words of encouragement. There's several different examples, enforcing difficult decisions, calling attention to process being made on current projects, acknowledging a person's unique perspective to an important topic. And if a loved one listens for words of affirmation, offering encouragement will help him or her overcome insecurities and to develop greater confidence. So I think all of us have, like all of these five languages, but it's at varying degrees as to which ones are most important. The next one, number two, is quality time. Quality time is much more than mere proximity. It's about focusing all your energy on a mate. A husband watching sports while talking to the wife is not quality time. Unless all of your attention is focused on your mate, even an intimate dinner for two can come and go without a moment of quality time being shared. Quality conversation is very important in healthy relationships. It involves sharing experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted context. A good mate will not only listen, but offer advice and respond to assure their mate that they're fully listening. Many males don't expect you to solve their problems. They just need a sympathetic listener. I am going to add in one thing there. According to Kevin Lehman, who wrote I'm just trying to remember which books he's written, but he's been on Oprah several times. He actually mentions that women actually say 7 times the amount of words that a man does in a week in general. So there is some truth to the fact that men are strong, silent, where they used to have to go hunting and being super quiet so they didn't get attacked by the animals. And that way they could see the animals and just let the animals come to them so they could kill them with their bow and arrows or stab them with a spear or however they killed them. Whereas women want to keep the animals away from their children, and they would gather together. So they'd be gathering berries, making the food at home, and all of those things. So with women are used to chatting quite a bit. And so I thought that was really interesting in terms of Kevin Lehman's work, where he had said that that women say 7 times the amount of words that guys do. So women, bear in mind all that too, that it's really important to be aware of that he's not going to be your girlfriend. You've got girlfriends for that. He can be a really good dear friend, but there's different places for different people in your life. So continuing in terms of the conversation and quality being very good and quality time in terms of Dr. Chapman's work, An important aspect of quality conversation is self-revelation. In order for you to communicate with your mate, you must also be in tune with your inner emotions. It is only when you understand your emotions and inner feelings that you'll be able to share quality conversation, quality time with your mate. Quality activity is a very important part of quality time. Many mates feel most love when they spend physical time together doing activities that they love to do. And yes, that includes sex. Spending time together will bring a couple closer in all the years to come, and it will fill a memory bank that you can reminisce about in the future. Whether it's sitting on a couch and having a brief conversation or playing together in a tennis league, quality time is a love language that's shared by many. Setting aside focused time with your mate will ensure a happy marriage. Number 3, receiving gifts. Some mates respond well, which I think this is me, to visual symbols of love. If you speak this love language, you're more likely to treasure any gift as an expression of love and devotion. People who speak this love language will often feel that a lack of gifts represents a lack of love from their mate. Luckily, this love language is one of the easiest to learn. If you want to become an effective gift giver, many mates will have to learn to change their attitude about money. If you're a natural spender, you'll have no trouble buying gifts for your mate. However, a person who's used to investing and saving their money may have a difficult time adjusting to this concept of spending money as an expression of love. These people must understand that you're investing the money, not in gifts, but in deepening your relationship with your mate. The gift of self is an important symbol of love. Sometimes all your mate desires is someone to be there for them. Going through the same trials and experiencing the same things, your body can become a very powerful physical symbol of love. These gifts do not need to come every day or even every week. They don't even need to cost a lot of money. Frequent, free, expensive, or rare, if your mate relates to the language of receiving gifts, any visual sign of love will leave them feeling happy and secure in their relationship. I do want to add on there too, it can be as simple as putting a really sweet note or typing out a poem or something like that and putting it in somebody's lunch when you're making them lunch. It can be really sweet and endearing. We are going to take a really short break and then I'll tell you the last two languages of love. It is very important to keep you in anticipation. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. shade. I must have been asleep for days, moving lips to breathe her name. I opened up my eyes and found myself alone, alone, alone above a raging sea. Stole the only girl I loved, drowned her deep inside of me. You knew soft and lonely. You knew lost and lonely. Just like heaven.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. And we are back. You're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio, in case you weren't sure about what you're listening to. And I'm Caroline McGillivray, your host extraordinaire. And we are talking about how to seduce your lover. I know I'm being a little bit heavy in all the relational stuff and all the communication, but if you set your foundation really solid in terms of focusing on your breath practice, really making sure you take that time, and really get to know the five languages of love in terms of how your partner likes to be taken care of, and really take the time to listen to them and see what they like, and making sure that they're taking that time to listen to you as well, where you've got a little bit of guidance, which I'm giving to you all this stuff in this one show. It's going to be pretty packed, so you better download the podcast because it's got lots of stuff in there. So before the break, we were chatting about the Five Languages of Love by Dr. Gary Chapman. And so I have two more, which I've held for you. Dum, 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 dum. Which number four is acts of service. Sometimes those simple chores around the house can be an undeniable expression of love. Sorry, I don't know what that denial was. Maybe it's because I'm not such a great housekeeper myself is why I'm hesitating on that one. But even in that Tanya Diamond workshop I was telling you about in the first half, where people were talking about intimacy, where one of the women had actually said that it would have been a great act of intimacy for her hubby to take out the trash, because that would mean that he loved her and respected and actually listened to what she said, because she'd been asking him over and over again to do that. And it's interesting because even in Dr. Chapman's description, even simple things like laundry and taking out the trash require some form of planning, time, effort, and energy. And just as Jesus demonstrated when he washed the feet of his disciples, doing humble chores can be a very powerful expression of love and devotion to your mate. Very often, both pairs in a couple will speak to the acts of service language. However, it is important to understand what acts of service your mate most appreciates. Even though couples are helping each other around the house, couples will still fight because they are unknowingly communicating with each other in different dialects. For example, a woman may want to spend the day washing the cars and walking the dog, but if the husband feels that the laundry and dishes are a superior necessity, he may feel unloved, despite the fact that his wife did many other chores throughout the day. It's important to learn your mate's dialect and work hard to understand what acts of service will show your love. It's important to do these acts of service out of love and not obligation. No one likes a martyr, everyone, so I hope you realize that. Because a mate who does chores and helps around the house not out of guilt or fear, well, if they do it out of guilt and fear, inevitably they're not really speaking a language of love, but they're speaking a language of resentment, and people will feel that. It's important to perform these duties out of the kindness of the heart. Demonstrating the acts of service can mean stepping out of these stereotypes. Acts of service require both mates to humble themselves into doing some of the chores and services that aren't usually expected from their gender. However, these little sacrifices will mean the world to your mates, and it will make a happy relationship. Number five, I think we know this one. Physical touch. Many mates feel most loved when they receive physical contact from their partner. For a mate who speaks this love language loudly, physical touch can make or break the relationship. Sexual intercourse makes many mates feel secure and loved in a marriage. However, it is only one dialect of physical touch, hence what we're chatting about at the beginning about the wrist exercise, gently stroking, focusing, and figuring out how somebody likes to be touched and finding different places besides the genitals that you might want to be touched. Many parts of the body are extremely sensitive to stimulation. It is important to discover how your partner not only physically responds, but also psychologically responds to these touches. It is important to know how your mate speaks the physical language, the physical touch language, I should probably say. Because some touches are just uncomfortable to your mate, especially with their history. There's many, many people in the world who've dealt with physical and or sexual or relational violence in their lives. So it's really, really important in terms of sex to, and just physical contact. How do they like to be touched? So really take the time to learn what types of touches your mate likes. They can be big acts such as back massages or lovemaking, or little acts such as touches on the cheek or hand on the shoulder. It's really important to know how your mate responds to touch. And this is how you can make the most out of this love language. And most relationships will experience crisis, and in these cases, physical touch is really important. In a crisis situation, a hug can communicate an immense amount of love for that person, which is why everybody, no pats on the back for that hug. You want a real hug. So nice deep inhale, and the exhale, you wrap your arms around, place those hands in the heart chakra, and exhale and gently press. So you can just feel that energy. A person whose primary love language is physical touch would much rather have you hold them and be silent than offer any advice. It is important to remember that this love language is different for everyone. What type of touch makes you feel secure is not necessarily what will make your partner happy, which is why it's so important to learn each other's dialects. This way you can make the most of your hugging, kissing, and other physical contacts. So it is really, really, really important again. So just to focus on everything, all the different ways that they like to be touched, all the ways they need to be listened to, the acts of service, all the different languages of love, because all of us, as I was mentioning, have variations of that. And even within each of those chunks, there are differences, as Dr. Chapman had explained. So it's really, 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 really key. So, we're going to get to some fun stuff. So, according to AskMen.com, I downloaded what they consider what are their top 10 outdoor dates, which I thought was really interesting. Some of them could be really hot, so I want to combine them with a few little fun things, which number one, of course, is you want to take her out on a picnic. And according to AskMen.com, they're claiming that this is tried and true summer date that can't be missed. And I agree. I think going out on a picnic can be really, really wonderful. And it's something that can be really reasonable. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You can go to Safeway and buy sandwiches, chips, and a pop for like $5. Or you can go full gamut and just get a whole slew of cheeses and fresh fruit and all that. It can be a really intimate act as well. You can have a lot of fun with that, especially with perhaps frozen blueberries or frozen grapes, and really gently perhaps just tracing it along, you know, the shape of your partner's lips, or maybe just on the inner crease of their elbow, and just making sure that you gently kiss that off afterwards, because you don't want to be invaded by ants. That's so not sexy. Unless you're into that, and then please forgive me, it's just not really my thing. So with that, it's really, really key. Other things that can be nice in terms of a picnic is with bottles of wine, can be really nice too, or Aqua Libra if you're drinking non-alcoholic. Just be careful not to drink and drive. You can go the just extra mile in terms of actually using real utensils and dishes and napkins, you know, be environmentally friendly, bring all that stuff with the classic picnic basket. If you are eating at the beach, you might want to bring a blanket down just because the sand tends to get everywhere. And also it's kind of nice to have a blanket in case you decide to have a little bit more fun on the water. And in that case, you might want to bring condoms as well. You never know where things lead, even if it doesn't happen that day. You never know. It doesn't hurt to be prepared. And no, I wasn't a Girl Scout, but perhaps I should have been. Number two, this is classic. Go to an amusement park, which could be really interesting. It kind of gets you back, all the hormones and adrenaline rushing when you're screaming going up and down that roller coaster. It could be a lot of fun, and you can have her reaching out for your hand, or him reaching out for your hand, you never know. Or doing the classic winning her an oversized teddy bear, or her sympathy for drawing, and you never know. It could be really, really, really fun. So duties with that is, don't do this if you have motion sickness, because vomiting all over someone is not an act of intimacy. Well, I suppose it is. It's just not one that I think you should really get to, hopefully. Again, unless it happens to be a fetish that you're really into, and if that's the case, go for it. And if you can figure out how to have sex on top of a Ferris wheel, please let me know. It's something I've never done. And I've yet to have any listeners tell me that they have, but I've been very curious about it because I've been wondering. And we are going to take a really quick short break, but we will be back in just one moment after this. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM CITR.
A place to go.
Sunday, August 2nd at noon, the Vancouver Pride Parade starts downtown at Robson and Thurlow. Showcasing Canada's proud diversity, Vancouver's Pride Parade ran 500,000 strong last year. Join the celebration as we support the LGBT community worldwide. Parade entries are full, but find your spot to watch at vancouverpride.ca. Festival events run all week.
I know a place to go when things are getting low.
And we are back. I forgot to mention at the break there, the half hour one, I forgot to mention that I was playing a little bit of Just Like Heaven, which is a little bit of The Cure. All of you guys out there probably know I'm such a huge 80s fan, so I had to put a little bit of Cure out there. So, number three. Seeing an outdoor concert, which in Vancouver, I'm going to expand that outdoor concert idea, which if you're just joining us now, you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR, but you're also hearing about the Ask Men's suggestions for great outdoor dates, which I fully encourage because I think it's the sun is hot, it's time to get outside and enjoy this weather. And so with that, outdoor concerts can be really, really fun. It can also be great for outdoor festivals, perhaps the outdoor movies, which there's been several of them. There was The Princess Bride last night in Stanley Park. Over the weekend, there was Ghostbusters. So there's a lot of really cool, funky things going on in town. Of course, it's Stanley Park out in Malcolm Bowl. There's a couple musical, Annie, and I forget what the other musical is, but there's a few different things going on all through town. So with that regard, it can be really nice, especially if you're going in the evening, because you can get a blanket, and Vancouver gets really cold. Don't forget to take all your B vitamins, because mosquitoes don't seem to like blood that has B vitamins in it. But with that, so hopefully you won't be bitten as much, unless you want to be bitten. And you can have a lot of fun, especially as a woman, if you choose not to wear any panties under your little short skirt, and you wrap yourself up in that blanket, where you can cuddle up with someone and gently stroke, caress, and possibly even sit on their lap and have sex in front of everybody, and they'd have no idea that you're actually having sex. So all that could be really super hot, super fun, and a lot of fun too. If you combine that with the picnic idea that we were chatting about before the break, again, you can play with just different things like frozen fruit, warmer things, and just play with just textures and flavors and have a little bit of fun under the sheets, which isn't such a stretch because we do that in the bedroom all the time, don't we? Number four, let's just turn into a kid again, and let's just take a drive.
So with going out for a drive, just checking out the whole city, which could be quite fun, and I've heard about all sorts of debaucherous things you can do, whether or not you're taking a car for a test drive, just opening up the sunroof and dropping the top if you've got a convertible, get a little bit of sun, and crank the tunes. Make a road trip playlist and you can have some good times, and I think all of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about in terms of that. And if not, you can always pull over in case whoever's driving gets a little bit distracted. What could be really fun perhaps is writing a story about where exactly you want to go, how you want to go, where you want to go, and all those things. And then having the person who's driving have to basically listen to the story, and hopefully they'll be so into it they'll have to pull over to the side of the road before you finish reading it. Could be very interesting, very intriguing. And of course, Vancouver is a beautiful city, so if you really do just want to go for a drive, that can be nice too, of course, which wasn't really my spin on this. Number five, going for a stroll, which could be really fun. That could be similar to driving, much more environmentally friendly, of course, but you can be hand in hand and just pick out different neighborhoods in the city to go check out. It's kind of nice, especially if it's that person's favorite neighborhood, because you might see stuff through their eyes and just get a different perspective of how they live, which could be really, really fun. And even if you've been in a relationship for 20 years, maybe going close to your partner's work so you get a chance to see what they see every day, the world through their eyes. It could be really fun. If you want to be really altruistic about it, perhaps you can both sign up for as volunteers at the SPCA and take a dog for, I was going to say a feline, for a walk, which could be kind of fun. And of course, you need to finish that off with going over to Casa Gelato or down to Marble Slab on Denman Street and gently licking lots of ice cream, because that can be really hot and fun and really, really enjoying it. Number six, going to a drive-in movie. Wow, I can hear the music from Grease playing in my head right now. Drive-ins aren't as common, and I think there's one out in the Fraser Valley area, but of course, it's kind of fun, because I know myself, I've never done it, and obviously public displays of affection obviously becomes a non-issue. And God, it's so teenager and so much fun, and I think all of us wanted it secretly one time, and then maybe this way you can make your partner's fantasies come true. It could be a lot of fun. Number seven, you can play in water, which, depending on the weather and the temperature, it's a good way to actually check out and see what your partner looks like in the swimsuit. And if you've got access for boat, you can request your partner's company for the day on the water. And it can be really fun, because water sports like wakeboarding, water skiing can really get the adrenaline kicking, which is really fun for flirting and sexual innuendo. Note to guys, if you are taking the girl out and you're going to be on the water and doing water sports, let her know beforehand. And I just need to reiterate that when I say water sports, I do mean water sports in the true sense of the word. I'm not talking about golden showers, which, if that's what you're into, you should probably let your partner know that first too before you decide to start peeing on her. But it's really important. Again, communication, really, really key. Don't just surprise her with a picnic on the boat, even though that sounds nice in theory, but if she gets seasick, or he could get seasick as well. Like, it's not a gender-based thing, but just being gentle. But as well, just if she's done her makeup and her hair, she might want to stay dressed properly and clear. And of course, there's number 10, which I thought this was an interesting one, which was wash her car. This summer idea gets both of you in a bathing suit and comes across as a generous act of service on your part, which, remember, it's only a chore if you make it into one, which I guess that's a really good, it's only a chore if you make it into one. I may need to quote that a few times. It's only a chore if you make it one, because I guess that goes with the acts of service, because there's no reason why washing the dishes in the kitchen, even though we're trying to get everybody outside right now, or making dinner, can't lead to basically propping your partner up on the countertop and having a lot of fun in the kitchen where you may not have. Or even after washing the toilet, just please make sure you wash your hands first. Basically, just interesting, precarious, different positions. If you are having sex in the shower, be really careful with soap because there's so many sexual injuries that happen because of slipperiness. And I don't mean the good kind of slippery. I mean the scary kind. So just be really careful. But back to the list. Washing the car, it makes you look really good. And of course, this is only going to lead to a water fight, because after you've sprayed the car and soaped it down, I think you guys are all geared up for a water fight. Which, if you've ever seen the movie Bring It On, there's a pretty hot little water fight in there, and it can be really fun and just get everybody excited in a not so bad way. Other things that are things that I want to add on before I wrap up the show is remembering things like massage. And if you are doing massage, remembering to make it erotic massage, which focuses in terms of intention, which if you need to listen to the episode that I had Sunny Vail on, which had about how to do that. Ice cubes, cool swaths of fabric where you can have different types. Perhaps a piece of linen is going to feel different than a piece of silk or a piece of wool across the skin on different areas. Really playing, having some fun with your food, your sexy stories, all that wonderful stuff. Making sure you're practicing safe sex no matter what you do. Be really careful if you decide to have sex out in the ocean or in a swimming pool. Just being careful, of course, because the lubrication does seem to disappear when there's other water there. But as well as that too, just being really, really careful, because sometimes because of that, as a woman, if you're having just vaginal sex, it can tear. And so you want to be really, really careful with all those membranes and be really, really gentle just to protect yourself from STIs and bacterial infections. So on that note, everyone, I hope you've had a really hot, sexy, sexy, sexy night, and I hope you've enjoyed this show. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with, and I heard him come in earlier, but I'm not quite sure where he is. He has the hottest shoes, as always, and anyway, listeners out there, if you are listening, I am going to add one more little plug for something that I'm doing coming up really quickly. On Saturday, July the 25th, I'm going to be participating in Blogathon, which is blogathon.org, where I will be blogging at sexyinvancity.com every 30 minutes from 6 in the morning until 6 Sunday morning. So that's basically, I believe that's 48 blogs. So if you think that I can do it and you want to, basically pledge. You can click onto a link. I'll Twitter it out in just a moment. And it is up on our website right now. And I'm raising money for Beauty Night Society, which, as most of you know, it's very dear to my heart. So if you want, please donate money. It's really important. And it's all going for a good cause. For those of you who don't know what Beauty Night is, it's an organization that provides marginalized women and youth tools to make positive lifestyle changes. And it's a great organization, and I'm excited about it. And I'm looking forward to blogging quite a bit this weekend. So if you care to send me any stories or anything, you can send my cousin Kitten, KITTYN, at sexyinvancity.com, some stories, and she will forward them to me, because perhaps I can use some of that stuff and respond to you, because I will definitely be online an awful lot this weekend. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And of course, I need a little bit of Depeche Mode to get us going at the end of the night. Have a good night.
I want somebody to share the rest of my life, share my innermost thoughts, know my intimate details, someone to stand by my side and give me support, and in return she'll get my support, she will listen to me. To speak about the world we live in and life in general, though my views may be wrong, they may even be perverted, she'll hear me out and won't easily be converted to my way of thinking. In fact, she'll often disagree, but at the end of it all, she will understand me.